following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
I got an email the other day. You can write the program, of course, radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. Got an email from a friend of mine in New York. His name is John. And John said that he wanted to thank me for hipping him to Central Barbecue. He went online, as I have talked about in the past, and he found the banner ad at the website, and he clicked on it, took him straight to the shop, and he ordered him up some barbecue. He said that a lot of people in New York claim to be, like, you know, the masters of barbecue and all that. He said it was nothing like that at all. He said his experience with the whole process with Central has been nothing short of remarkable. And the food was just tremendous. He said that that the instructions that came with the package were very clear. All of his friends that he had over got a chance to sample it, and he said he's ordering more because he wants to just keep it for himself. That's a good idea, you know, with the holidays here right upon us. You know, you got the turkey, you got the ham, you got all that other stuff. You can add a little something to that. How about some of that slow-smoked Memphis-style pork? Pulled pork, man. Ooh, it'll make you a mean sandwich. And some of their ribs, oh, Lord, you can't beat them. They're the best. You can find them on our website at radio-memphis.com. Do what John did. Click on the banner ad there. It'll take you to the shop. Order you up some pork, some pulled pork, some slow-smoked pork, some slow-cooked ribs. Oh, man, yes. Get you some sauce, that Central sauce, and the spices that go with it. It's delicious. You won't be disappointed. Find the ad at radio-memphis.com. Now, let's get on with the show. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. Last week you heard the episode we did with Tony Green, lovely lady. If you haven't heard it, check it. It's the one before this one. And I got word that she had made it safely back to Paris, which is a good thing. But the idea, though, the reason why I'm sort of excited about that show is that is a kind of a quick look as to what the new format of this show will be like. Along the same lines, it won't be identical to that by any stretch, but it'll be fairly close. We're still tinkering with it, still playing with it, so you get kind of a rough idea of what direction we're going to kind of go with this show. So hope you dug it. Hope you liked it. Of course, you can drop us a line, radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. Tell us what you thought. We never really know who's listening to this. We know some numbers, and it's pretty substantial, which is kind of a cool thing. If you wanted to be a guest on this show, you got something to add to the program, you can drop us a line there, and perhaps we'll book you in. Where we're starting to fill up our slots here, and hopefully before long we'll be able to put something together real nice. And here's the really groovy thing about all this is that it doesn't matter where you are in the world. If you'd like to be on the show, we can make that happen. That's the way it works. That's kind of the cool thing about it, because in this day and age, thanks to the magic of the internet, we can do it from anywhere. We'll just work out a date and a time. We'll sit down. We'll make it happen. It'll be big. It'll be fun. Drop us a line, radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. We can go from there and see what we want to get into. In the meantime, a lot of things, of course, have been happening. You know, the world news has been sort of, it's been filled with terror, lots of it. And the reaction of this country in relation to that terror has been, it's been interesting. I'll tell you that. I'm a little dismayed at the ability or inability for some people in this country to not understand the basic needs of human beings. There is a rather growing list of xenophobic governors out there who are wanting to stop efforts to allow Syrian refugees into their states, which I find, you know, kind of appalling. You would think that we would have learned our lesson in the 1940s when we had the Japanese internment camps, but we haven't. We still see these people that want to bring the internment camps back, and that's just kind of alarming to me. Well, we're not going to have terrorists. We're not going to be harboring them and giving them safe haven in this country and, you know, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't work like that. The people that have been displaced, the refugees that have been displaced, are people that have had their homes destroyed. Their lives have been destroyed. They were able to escape with nothing more than the shirt on their back. Yes, there are some Syrians that are terrorists. Yes, I get it. And yes, there are some stories of them circulating, some circulating stories of these people that are, you know, coming into here to cause problems. The fact of the matter is this, that this group, the Islamic State, ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, whatever you want to call them, they are not of any particular persuasion. They may be Middle Eastern, they may be American, they may be Belgian, they may be French, they may be British. Jihadi John was British. We knew that. The guy that masterminded the attack in Paris was a Belgian. So, I mean, you're not going to sit there and turn away these refugees that have had nothing to live with. I mean, it's a cold-hearted thing that these leaders that we have in office in this country are doing, and I don't agree with it. You may not agree with me, because I see some of the racist shit that's being posted by Donald Trump and other people in that party, who are saying some absolutely horrible things, because we have to have our safety. We cannot have these people here taking up our resources. You know, there's a big difference between refugees and immigrants. An immigrant moves to a country away from their home to find a better life for themselves. And a refugee is somebody who's escaping their home because it's been destroyed, or it's in the process of being destroyed, or it's under some horrible authoritarian order or rule. And we see it a lot. It's unfortunate, but that's what's going on. And as a result of this, it creates panic. It creates these horrible fears that all of a sudden, now we're opening up our borders to these terrorists. They're just going to come right on in. The governor of the state of Texas, Greg Abbott, he said he didn't want any Syrian refugees in his country because it should be his country. Texas should just go ahead and secede. They've been wanting to for years. But he has said that he didn't want any Syrian refugees in his state because it was too easy to buy guns. What a ridiculous statement to make. What kind of ballsy remark is that? Well, he's so adamant about not having any of these people within the borders of the state of Texas that he has now ordered humanitarians to stop doing their jobs. He announced that, like dozens of other xenophobic governors, he would stop efforts to allow Syrian refugees into his state in the wake of the deadly attacks in Paris. But part of the governor's announcement included the sending of a letter from the Texas Health and Human Services Commission to local nonprofits demanding that they comply with the governor's request. Yeah, you people that are wanting to do some charitable work, you're going to have to stop that. The state could foreseeably choose not to accept federal funding for the organizations that don't comply, according to immigration attorney Gordon Kwan. This story is absolutely fascinating. He says it puts them in a situation that I think is very uncomfortable. This is basically saying don't do resettlement. If you do resettlement of these Syrian refugees, you may be endangering the whole program that you have. Well, some agencies that work with refugees in Texas, they naturally kind of balked at the directive, saying, you know, that because resettlement is a federal responsibility, the Texas governor does not have the authority to make such a directive. A woman by the name of B. Moorhead, executive director of Texas Impact, which works closely with resettlement agencies, wrote in a letter to the state that the move constitutes an unprecedented attempt on the part of a state agency to pressure private, nonprofit organizations to violate federal law and their federal contractual obligations. The letter asked the state to meet with resettlement agencies and federal authorities to decide whether Abbott actually has the authority to tell organizations to ignore the pleas of homeless people. I would ask the natural question, can you believe this shit? But yeah, I can. We are surrounded by it. And I see in my social media feed all the time specifically Facebook, because that's where it really tends to happen a lot, that there are these xenophobic, racist motherfuckers that have pictures of themselves with guns, lots of them, and their plan is to shoot anybody. They're going to go after ISIS themselves. They're going to shoot them. They're going to take them down. Excuse me, sir, but may I ask you, where are you going to find these people? Who are you looking for? Do you know what these people look like?
Yeah, I do. I know what they look like. They got brown skin.
Uh-huh. That's what this is turning into. It's a racist hunt. And the fact of the matter is this, that the Islamic State, if they wanted to set off a bomb somewhere, you're not going to know it. That's the whole point. What are you going to do when a guy is standing there and now you've determined he is wearing a suicide vest? You going to shoot him? What if you're wrong? Or what if you're right? You know how a suicide vest works? It has a detonation device, a lot like a hand grenade. You pull a pin, and you're holding a spring-loaded valve down. The second your hand releases that, it explodes like a hand grenade. So you go ahead and put a bullet in the guy, and then watch what happens. They're going to go hunting. Man, we need to go bomb. We got to go bomb all of ISIS, man. We got to take them out. We got to go out there and go get them. Who are you doing this? Where do you want to go? Yeah, granted, they are all over Syria, yes. And you can find them. You can find some of them there, but that's not going to stop the problem. It's not going to end it because they're just going to move. They're like fire ants. You kill off one mound, they move somewhere else. They're constantly in motion. They don't have a country that they call home. These people aren't interested in nationalism. These people are not interested in patriotism. These people, what they're interested in is bringing about the end of the war for whatever religious reasons that they feel is appropriate. That's part of the reason. A lot of it, too, is a straight-out bloodlust because they've misinterpreted certain passages within the Quran that allow them to go out and kill people. So they get a free pass to go out and do whatever it is that they want to do. They're going to inflict their religion onto you, and if you don't like it, tough. Sounds like this is honest, but it does sound like certain members of the Republican Party feel the same way. Well, this is a country found on God and Christ. Uh-huh. So keep your religion out of my politics, and I'll keep my politics out of your religion. I'm not interested and having the two linked. And that's what these people want. And they feel that they can bring about the end of the world, that when whatever God that they have is going to come riding in from the heavens. And they're going to, you know, separate the goats from the sheep. They want to bring that about. They want to advance it. They want to do it to the extent that they will kill themselves in the process. So it brings the question, how do we allow them to go ahead and kill themselves without bringing the rest of us with them? And the answer, my friend, is not bringing in the military, per se. Sending in a bunch of troops is not going to do it. It's going to just make things worse. And it's going to make it a very big, long, prolonged event. It has to be a negative campaign. You have to get to the people that are considering joining this organization with realizing it's not really much of a future in it. It doesn't have a decent retirement plan. It doesn't have... they're luring these teenagers in with money and stuff. Oh, you want that car? We'll hook you up. We'll get you all the cash you need. We'll pay off your student debt. Come join us because we got money. We got oil money. We got lots of money. Money, money, money. That's what they have. They got lots of it. And they're going to lure these youngsters in to do their bidding. What do they care? Because the reward is whatever it is that you get in the afterlife. I don't know if it's it may be the 72 virgins. I don't know how all that works. It's just, you know, I've read a good bit of the Quran, if not most of it. I've read the Bible. I understand the two books. There's a lot of parallels in there. A lot of the same.
oh man, you just love the Middle Easterns, man. Or
no, I don't necessarily, but I want to try and understand who it is that we're dealing with. I know several Middle Eastern people, and they're very nice. And none of them want any association with this nonsense that's going on over there. That's why they left. That's why they came here, to get away from that crap. Why do you think that there were people that came that sailed across the Atlantic to settle in North America? To get away from the same sort of shit. It wasn't quite as bad, but still. But you got to remember, there was a time in the history of this world where the Catholic Church was going around killing people because they didn't convert to Catholicism.
That's not true, bro.
Check out the Spanish Inquisition. Check out the Crusades. That was all part of it. It was all the same thing. Now we've got a group of people in the Middle East, 2,000 years later, mind you, that are doing the same goddamn thing. And everybody's freaked out and everybody's worked up about it. This is why a lot of organized religion, I said that way, a lot of organized religion is dangerous. Because it gets people worked up over nothing. And those of you who are you know, saying that, you know, they're Christians, and by God, I'm going to take up my arms and I'm going to defend my God and all that. Look, pal, that's all well and good, but that's not what Jesus wanted. That's not what it says in the book. This is the version that I have. Jesus went around and said, you need to love each other. You need to be friends with your enemies. You need to have open dialogue with these people. You need to try and understand what is being said and try and find some middle ground. Nothing about converting anybody. Live and let live. And do your best to, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That doesn't mean that, well, he wants to kill me, so I got to kill him. That doesn't work like that. People in general, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I do believe that people in general want to do the right things. They do want to be pleasant. They do want to be nice. They want to do good things because it feels good to do good things. It feels good to have good things done to you. It doesn't feel good to go out and kill people. And it's funny how a lot of people are just turning this into this whole same Second Amendment gunfight thing that has been going on too. And you got all these people that are, you know, proudly, you know, displaying all these weapons, and they're sitting there in their homes and they're making bullets and they're polishing their guns because they're ready for the big fight that's going to come. I mean, you know what? Y'all are just as scary as those motherfuckers over there. And this is here in the States. You look at just about every terrorist activity that's taken place within the borders of the United States of America. Just about all of them. And they were perpetrated by white Christian people that were fucked up. They were racist. They were sick. They were wanting to inflict their will upon everybody. And it's just a remarkable scenario that is going on. Now back to the refugee thing. You've got people who are obviously a little worked up about this. And they're like, we don't want this. We're not going to have this, blah, 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 blah. The United States has been, historically speaking, has been very tough to a place to come to for that very reason, you know, for refugee crises. You got to remember that let's go back to the Second World War. We rounded up all the Japanese. They were born here, but they were of Japanese descent. We put them all in internment camps. George Takei will be happy to tell you about all of that. Oh, my. He knows what that's about. He grew up in one. There are also many Japanese that went on and served in our military. They fought for the United States. They fought for their right to become American citizens and to live here. And on the way, we seem to have lost that. We were just slipping right back into it. I had seen a really remarkable bit of history that the Frank family in the Netherlands had asked for political asylum in the United States. just before the Second World War. It was in the late 30s. I mentioned the Frank family because it was Anne Frank and her family. They were denied. Getting refugee status even back then was very, very difficult. They were denied. You know how it turned up. Some people do get that. After the war, we took in a lot of the German scientists and all. Well, that's how our space program was built, quite frankly. It was the guys that were once Nazis working for the Nazis building rockets for the V-1 and V-2 projects. Intercontinental ballistic missiles were trying to be designed by these scientists toward the end of the Second World War. We got these guys. They were the ones that helped us put a man on the moon. Wernher von Braun was one of them. He swore off that whole Nazism. But everybody was like, at the time, they weren't raising haggles. Oh, we got Nazis in our program now. Nobody really, kicked up much of a fuss. It was like, oh, well, we converted him back. Welcome to the rest of the free world, my boy. Here's an office. Here's a lab coat. Here's our project. And they willingly did. They did the work. Those of you that might be familiar with the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital here in Memphis, which, by the way, if you ever do come to Memphis, I highly recommend you see this place. It is absolutely remarkable what they're doing in there. It was founded by Danny Thomas, of course, the great actor Danny Thomas, singer, Hollywood star. He put all this together. He loved those children. He loved them and just very deeply and gave his money and built this organization, the St. Jude Children's Hospital. He came to the United States because his parents were Syrian refugees. You don't think about it that much because, it's Danny Thomas. He's an American treasure, or was. He also created an organization, and you'll see it when you go to the St. Jude website. ALSAC, A-L-S-A-C. ALSAC/St. Jude. ALSAC is the money behind it. Because they don't refuse treatment to any child that is sick, and they never charge anything for it. They give these children free medical care. That's what Danny Thomas wanted, and they still do it that way. And they've got some of the best doctors and scientists in the world working at this place because of the programs that they're putting in that help cure these children, or programs that are put into play later to cure adults. It's a research hospital. Now, ALSAC, A-L-S-A-C, is an acronym. And it means American, Libyan, Syrian, Associated Charities. Because Danny's parents were Libyan and Syrian. And he considered himself somewhat of an American. So they got through the process, thankfully. Our lives have been enriched by having Danny Thomas on our big screens. And these children's lives, even to this day, benefit from the tremendous amount of generosity that has been put forth. And I couldn't be prouder of that. But they were refugees.
Yeah, and you're like terrorists, yeah, they're starting up this shit. Look, this shit's been going on for thousands of years, man. They've been fighting each other forever. It's not going to stop. So, the way I feel about it, my life ain't going to stop either. I'm tired of certain people trying to instill some sort of fear into my ass about it all. I'm tired of people saying that I should disrupt my life because I have to protect myself. Because of this. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. But I'm sure as shit not going to let, some threat of violence going to stop me from doing the things that I do on a daily basis or not, like what I'm doing right now. Or from me going into, a movie theater or going into a place of business or driving around the streets of my home. Or just doing the things that I like to do. I'm not going to be living like I'm in some sort of fear everywhere I go. That would be ridiculous. Because if I did that, then now all of a sudden the terrorist would have the upper hand on you, because that's exactly what, that's why they're called terrorists. They are inflicting terror onto you. They want you to be afraid. They want you to
to react to them. Quite frankly, I could give a shit. I don't have any control over their or whatever there is that they're going to do. I could be sitting in a restaurant and some guy who's all fucked up and he's finally had enough decides he's just going to shoot up the place and kill everybody in the room, me included. That could happen. That's a form of terrorism. That's exactly what that is. But nobody would see it coming. The hero with the gun, the licensed, legally permitted carry holder, is not going to be the wiser. He may get lucky and miss a few shots from that, you know, from the bad guy, and then maybe take him down. You don't know. But we're sure as shit not seeing too many stories about those people now, are we? So before you start polishing your gun and loading up your bullets and getting all your shit together, make sure you know it is exactly what it is that we're up against. I don't mean to be preachy, but I'm sick of seeing the hatred. I'm sick of seeing the xenophobic rants of people. The racism is pissing me off. And it's embarrassing. Stop it. You haven't had to fight terrorism. Look what the French have done. They got on top of the situation. They did the best that they could. Everybody that was involved in this sort of thing, they're still investigating it. But they got them all. They got themselves, but, you know, hey, they got them all. And you know what they're still doing? They're opening up their borders and they're allowing more Syrians, some more refugees into their country. Because they know. Because every one of these motherfuckers that were doing this, they weren't even Syrian. They were Belgian. They were French. They were British. Saudi Arabian. Turkish. They came from all sorts of different walks of life, but there wasn't a Syrian amongst them. They all got trained and hung out in Syria, I'm sure. But these are animals. These are monsters. They're not nationalists. They're not looking for a country to take. They are looking to take civilization out by any means possible. Use your head, folks. And don't be afraid. Fear is not going to get you anywhere. So there.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
This time around, though, I wanted to take a look at something a little more back to the basics of what this podcast was originally designed for, even though we're in the process of evolution, where starting on Thanksgiving, usually day after Thanksgiving, it's 24 hours of Christmas music from that date until I think it's usually like the 27th or 28th, or maybe even New Year's Eve. I think they may even go all the way to New Year's Eve, which is a long fucking time. And then somebody sees it happening, and it's like a well-orchestrated football play where, you know, grandma comes out of the crowd, goes, "Ah, little bastard," knocks the kid down. I mean, stiff arms the little fucker and puts him down on his ass and takes that box and then waves a finger at him. It was on the video. I saw it. This is not what it's about. This is not what Christmas is supposed to be about, at least not in my world.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Hey, check it out. The holidays coming up around the corner. You've also got some people on your checklist, on your shopping list. You don't know quite what to get for them. I want you to take a look at a banner ad that's on our website at radio-memphis.com. It says Wizards. Click on that. And it's a great shop. It's an alternative smoke shop that has been here in Memphis for a long, long time. They're great people over there. And they have a store online. Yeah, and it's a really kind of a cool deal. They carry a lot of very unique gifts. Some absolutely tremendous. They have woodwick candles in there, by the way. Oh, they just got a shipment in of lava lamps. Hell yeah, they do. Check them out. Look for the banner ad at radio-memphis.com. Look for Wizards and give them a look. Those of you that are here in the Memphis and Mid-South area, they're over there at 1999 Madison Avenue. 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Their website is up and running 24 hours a day. Look for their banner ad at radio-memphis.com. Wizards, because it's still smoking. All right, you heard what's coming up next week. I know I was a little serious, a little heavy-handed with this. It's just sometimes, you know, when I'm sitting here and I'm doing these shows, it's not always necessarily going to be about, you know, funny. I try to from time to time. It is listed under the comedy end of it. Some of it is, you know, meant to be thought-provoking. Some of it is meant to be, you know, maybe a little heavy-handed at times. It's okay. This is kind of what it is. And I've probably pissed off a good number of you with this, and that's fine. That's my point of view on this thing. If you have a beef about it, you can set up the comment in the various places where this podcast is, or you can drop a line, drop an email here to me, radioland@pirateradiostudios.com, and I may even read it. Why not? It's there. It's a public forum. I'm not shying away from any of all of that. That would be just silly now, would it? So yeah, there you have it. All right, look, I'm going to get on out of here. Those of you that are new to the show, thank you so much for being a part of it. All the previous episodes can be found at in a couple of places. Where we host it is at Podbean. Look for rickcheddar.podbean.com or at our blog page, rickcheddar.blogspot.com. Of course, it's all the episodes can be found at radio-memphis.com. And we're at Stitcher, we're at TuneIn, we're at Blueberry, we're at a ton of places. So find it, tell everybody you know about it, share it. Please, thank you so much for doing so. Give us a follow on the Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Rick Cheddar, RickCheTTER. So you can find us there as well. And you know, hey, you get a little bonus thing too when you follow me on Twitter. I get on Periscope from time to time, a couple of nights a week right now on Tuesdays and Thursdays, usually about 10:30, 11 o'clock Central PM. You'll be able to find me there. We'll rant and rave about a few things. Just have some fun. Depends on how it goes. And that's probably going to be expanding as well into a little more frequent of a thing. So check all that out. Have some fun. Interact with the program. You're more than welcome to do so. Whether you like it, whether you hate it, whether you know, whatever you feel about it. It's all up. It's, you know, whatever you want to do. Thank you so much. Share the show. Tell everybody you know about it. And I appreciate it. You hear what's coming up next time. Until then, y'all take care of one another. Take care of yourselves. And don't be afraid. Live your life. It's a good thing out there, all right? We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.